Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we're bringing our friend Art Stapleton from NorthJersey.com. Art, Jerry, and Kim, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. Hope you had a good Christmas. And been listening all morning, so I know what not to talk about.
Squirrels?
Squirrels.
Squirrels are no fun. No fun.
All I keep thinking about is Christmas Vacation, as they when they find the squirrel in the Christmas tree.
Yes.
Running around the house. So
and the things
that's
on the...
I was hoping that Costello would say that he was dressed up as Santa with a squirrel on his back.
He did not do that.
That would be awesome if he were, though.
Are you excited about vacation for this horrendous season to end?
Jerry, Kim, and I have spoken about this, and we all know too well if things go a certain way, January becomes about finding a new head coach and coaching searches, and then when you have a top five pick, you cover a team that has a top five pick, it's then about the combine, and then, well, you know, it's April, and we're right back into the season. So what is vacation, Jerry?
Right. Very good
point, Art. You're right. It's become a 12-month sport, essentially, with all these cycles that they have. It's just, it's got to be difficult now because it's been a while since they've been good, just year in and year out. It seems like it's the same thing and you're writing the same things. And I know it's a job and it's fun. You're still covering football for a living, but my God, it's like it's a show on repeat.
Yeah, you'd say that. And even the season that was a winning season, or at least provided surprising wins at the end of the season when they made the playoffs in 2016, all people seem to remember about that is a boat trip, a hole in the wall, and a team that ended up falling apart the following season, and the head coach and general manager didn't make it through the year. I mean, you think about it, we had to do a top 10 moments, defining moments that'll come out this weekend of the Giants' decade. Mm. And I was going through it, and the last decade, the one that's going to end, you know, next week, started with the DeSean Jackson punt return.
Oh.
They had a Super Bowl the following year,
right.
And now you're here and you may be searching for your third head coach in five seasons. That is the decade of the Giants, and it's pretty amazing that a team can go on such a roller coaster. And look, it's crazy. I really don't know if you can have recency bias with the Giants, and I know we'll get into that in terms of what they've done in the last couple weeks versus what they did for October and November. And I think that needs to be, you know, the task of John Mara and Steve Tisch to take a step back and truly appreciate this season as a whole and not just week to week. And I do think that's partly why Steve Tisch shied away from a vote of confidence, and certainly John Mara has not said anything publicly since training camp, which is, I think, a little disconcerting to his fan base.
Art, I find it hard to believe, although Jerry and I talked about it earlier, and I believe a caller brought it up, the idea that Sunday could change anything. I do think the Giants, through ownership, would get a kick out of perhaps ruining the Eagles season, just like I'm sure they really enjoyed beating the Redskins in overtime for that very reason. They want to win these games. They want to win games in the division. There are teams they like less than others. That's how it goes in the NFL. But in your mind, does Sunday determine anything for the Giants?
No, and Kim, like you and I have spoken about off the air a little bit. I mean, unfortunately, our paths haven't crossed as much over the last couple weeks, with you getting to watch some winning football. But I think what it does for Pat Shurmur is that if he is given an opportunity to walk into John Mara, an office with John Mara and Steve Tisch, and say, Pat, why should you stay? I think, like you pointed out earlier in the show, you point to the quarterback, but also, this game is a playoff game for the Eagles. So if you're Shurmur, you have an opportunity to show that you can bring that kind of level to a game that he has not done as a head coach since he joined the Giants. So I think it just adds to his argument to stay. I don't believe it will make a difference either way if that decision has already been made. Look, one game against the Eagles on Sunday, because the Eagles are playing to get into the playoffs, doesn't erase a 9-game losing streak and all the things you saw over a 3-month span. It just can't. So, again, it comes down to the quarterback. And there is a lot to be said about Pat Shurmur's influence in the development of Daniel Jones. That's not to say that another coach can't take Daniel Jones further than what Pat Shurmur has as he moves forward in his career. But I do think that that should at least be discussed as to, look, if we get rid of Shurmur, what are we doing for our quarterback? Because you now have a franchise quarterback. And they were so hesitant. Kim, you'll remember. Jerry, you'll remember. So hesitant. It's probably one of the reasons, if not the biggest reason, that Ben McAdoo replaced Tom Coughlin. Because they did not want Eli Manning, at his age, to go into another offense, which would have been 3 offenses, I think, in 4 years at that time. When they got rid of Gilbride, brought in McAdoo, said everything was broken and now fixed, and then they would have gone into another offense, which turns out to be Pat Shurmur's. But so I do think that at some level, this ownership is leery of doing that. Should they be? Well, I think if they're honest with themselves, probably not, because this is about the direction of the franchise and not solely about the quarterback.
Well, then on that, how much influence does the quarterback have? I mean, would he say something if, in fact, he was in Shurmur's corner?
You know, it's funny. I mean, he has supported Pat Shurmur to this point, but if Daniel Jones is anything like Eli Manning, you know, he may have his feelings, but who knows if he's going to express them or not. You know, that's the kick that I always got about Eli, is that, you know, once Eli wins 2 Super Bowls, then everyone continues to ask him about the coach, and he would say, no one's ever come to me and asked. And I always thought that was kind of funny. You know, is this Eli not telling us? Is there an intermediary going between John Mara, Steve Tisch, and Eli Manning? Because I look at it from a franchise perspective, how do I not get Eli's opinion at that point, you know, about what Ben McAdoo would bring as a head coach or anyone else? But I certainly don't think 1 year in, Daniel Jones doesn't strike me as a player who will knock on John Mara's door in the facility and say, hey, Mr. Mara, we need to talk about the future of this franchise. I don't even know if Daniel Jones has allowed himself to get to that point yet. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing for him. Maybe he compartmentalizes things very much. But I think next Monday, Black Monday, I think there are a lot of people in this organization, some who have remained, who are a little leery about what is coming, and I think there are a lot of players in that locker room who have no idea what is coming if the head coach and the general manager or anyone else is left the building before New Year's Eve.
That's the voice of Art Stapleton of NorthJersey.com with Jerry Recco and Kim Jones here this morning in for Boomer and Gio. Art, I'm curious about your take on a locker room that you're in a heck of a lot more than I and have been all, you know, you've been there all season. I've been there, you know, on a spotty basis, frankly, since the end of September. How would you characterize this locker room in terms of the vibe you get from players, what you perceive to be the work ethic of players? I know it's young. I also know they've not won a lot of games, but the locker room's important, and I think we all remember Dave Gettleman crowing last year at one point the idea that they've fixed the culture or they didn't have a culture problem anymore. That we could do an entire show on. But I guess I'm asking you to take the temperature for us of the locker room.
You know, I think the culture, the only culture that's ever mattered with this Giants team, and you can go back to 2016 and then how that locker room turned, it's a winning culture. Yes. And a losing culture.
Right.
And right now, they've been digging out of trying to get out of a losing culture. And the only way you change a losing culture, ultimately, is by bringing in winners and winning.
Yep.
And they have not done that on a consistent basis enough since Pat Shurmur became head coach last year. Now, some of that is their own doing. You know, you can't now talk about the youth of this roster when you were the ones who broke it down. Yep. And decided to play these players. Back in September, the idea was, we're not just playing young players, we're playing players because they deserve to play and they give us the best chance to win. So now you can't look at it 3 months later and say, well, look, you have to understand, we played a lot of young players. Well, that was your choice. Right. You got rid of a lot of players who may not have won in New York consistently, but they knew how to play in New York, and they were talented players. So to answer your question, Kim, I think this Giants team, in order to get out of the losing culture, they kind of took a business approach. We get to work at 8 o'clock. We work until 5 or 6 o'clock. We do our jobs. We go home, and then we come back to work the next morning. And I think that's a good thing for a young team to develop habits. You know, you're trying to get to a point where you understand what it is to be a professional. But there are guys in this locker room who eat, sleep, and drink football. They come from winning programs. They have ideas that they want to get beyond just being a rookie in the NFL. You know, Sterling Shepard has seen the gamut now, and he got here in 2016. I mean, he's going to be on his third, you know, his second head coach, but he joined a locker room that had the fallout of Tom Coughlin leaving. So I think that other than a handful of guys who, you know, you'd expect them to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's what you hear about Daniel Jones, that once he got hurt, he came in earlier. You know, the idea that he had to be there for treatment and that kind of thing. Right. But I think there's this idea in the NFL that when you're not on a team that's competing, it just becomes a job. And to me, that is how it makes it difficult to go from losing to winning, is that you're developing habits. They go out to the practice field, but are they just kind of going through the motions for an hour and a half? Not that they're being lazy, but they're just, okay, you tell me to do this. I'm going to work on my back pedals. I'm going to do my individual drills. Then I'm going to get out, and I'm going to do what they tell me on scout team. And then I'm going to go in the locker room. I'm going to go to meetings, and then I'm going to go home. And that's kind of what it's become because of all that losing. And I think that's what they need to figure out a way to kind of shake themselves from, is that next year with Pat Shurmur, that they've now built a foundation, and then they jump from that. I can't make that leap of faith. I can't say that, and I don't know if ownership can make that leap either.
I think, at least for me, talking to Art Stapleton, when I look at this season, you had the two, after Eli was set aside and Daniel Jones made his debut, and they won the two games, and specifically, I don't remember if it was after the Tampa game or whoever they beat after that, maybe Washington or whoever, and he was like, this is what we were talking about, this is the kid we saw, this is why we thought we drafted him when we drafted him. You know, they had a chance to have a decent season and take the Eagles and Cowboys out of the mix and the horrific years they've had, that 8-8 will win the division or could win the division. You know, their two following games is where the season went completely sideways. And you know the one I'm pointing to immediately, and that's right, the Arizona game, where it looked like a lifeless, dead team. And that, to me, is where the whole Shurmur stay, go conversation began, and it's picked up steam since. And I think Detroit, if I'm looking at it, Detroit was right after that. And I don't know, it's like they've never really recovered since, and the injuries mount, they're young, and excuses continue, and it's almost as if you're looking at them, what the hell are they?
Well, you know, I think you're 100% correct, Jerry. The day this season turned against Pat Shurmur was that Arizona game. They were coming off of the mini bye when they were competitive in New England to a point. And then, you know, you look at the scoreboard at the end of the game and you're like, well, they weren't really competitive. Like, that's the problem with this team, is that throughout this stretch, especially the 9-game losing streak, if you're trying to sell the idea that they were competitive, like, yeah, they weren't weren't embarrassed on the field, but they weren't, it wasn't a play here, a play there, and they win the games. But that Arizona game, and really, you know, then the Detroit follow-up, the way they lost that game, I think it kind of turned. The problem here is that, you know, the Giants, when they hired Pat Shurmur, they said they wanted an adult, right? They didn't want a guy who was going to, you know, capture the imagination of people at press conferences. They didn't need him to win over the media. They just didn't want him to lose the media. You know, Ben McAdoo, one of his failures is that he got into trouble when he freelanced at press conferences, and he would say things that just, it wasn't about his coaching decisions. It was always about how he handled the players. And, you know, people forget, you know, Janoris Jenkins didn't show up coming out of the bye week for practice. You know, with Pat Shurmur, he doesn't have the media kind of engaged at his press conferences. So all of the focus is on decisions he makes in games. And he has no defense for some of the things that he's done in games. Maybe part of that is he's trying to figure out what this team is and who they are. But the problem is that when you are plagued by similar problems and deficiencies throughout an entire season, you take the blame, your coaching staff needs to take the blame, and there are certain positions on this staff that have not gotten better. And that is a big problem, and unfortunately that falls on Pat Shurmur. So he hasn't made those decisions, but I do think that when it became about development and they didn't develop enough players fast enough, I think that's kind of when Shurmur kind of lost that idea of, if you're not winning and you're not developing, why are you here? And I think that is a question that Pat Shurmur needs to answer. And I don't know if that answer is going to convince ownership that he needs to stay.
You hear from fans, Art. Do you have a sense of which way the Giants fan, who often is very vocal in getting his or her message to John Mara, as we've heard over the years, and as John has told us over the years, his father told us all of that before John, of course. But do you have a sense of that part of it, and do you have a sense of what happens, you know, when I say post-game Sunday, I don't necessarily mean immediately after the game. I mean after this season is put to bed,
right?
What direction this organization goes.
You know, I wish I knew. You know, sometimes we fall into the trap when you focus on social media with fans. There is certainly a vocal pocket of fans on social media that has been done with Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman yesterday. Right. I don't mean yesterday Christmas. I mean yesterday, right. You know, a year ago. You know, after they traded Odell, after they, you know, drafted Saquon, even going back to that, the idea of there are fans who have bailed on this organization and feel like they're just too focused on what the Giants way used to be, and they don't adapt to what the NFL is today. And I do think there is some valid criticism there. I do think there are parts of this fan base who believe that it would be unfair to pull the rug out from under Shurmur this year, considering you knew going in that once he went to the rookie quarterback, they probably weren't going to win. So they almost want to give him another season. But I do think Dave Gettleman is a big part of this, too. And Dave has not made many friends in terms of fans and players he's jettisoned. And he hasn't talked to us in the media since the second day of training camp. So it's not like Dave just wants his body of work to stand for what it is. And right now, that body of work, you can punch a lot of holes in it. So I really think the Giants, it's fascinating as to which direction they're going to go, because if they keep both, I think there's going to be criticism. I think if they get rid of Shurmur and keep Gettleman, there's going to be criticism. And then if they get rid of both of them, it's going to be, okay, well, what are you going to do now that they're gone? And I'm not sure that there are people who are convinced that they'll do the right thing, even if they get rid of Shurmur and Gettleman. So this next couple weeks are going to be absolutely fascinating. I wish I had more of a definitive answer as to what they're going to do, but I do not know if their minds are made up come Monday next week.
Last thing for me, Art Stable to NorthJersey.com. On actual football, do you think they play well Sunday? Do you think they win?
You know, I didn't think they would play well in Washington, to be perfectly honest. I thought they were going to suffer off of that victory Monday given to them by Eli Manning, since Pat Shurmur was so against it. And I thought the one thing that Shurmur had going for him was the idea that the way they kept their weeks and the players knew, and going back to that whole routine-based, I thought the young players were going to come out and struggle. Fortunately, they have Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and they did not struggle. I think they'll get up for it early on. I think Jones will play well. I think Saquon sees that 89 yards. He needs to get to 1,000. Now, not that he's motivated by statistics, but that means something. You know, 5-6 years down the line, when you're running down seasons on Saquon Barkley, if you were to see what he did last year, and then you see, you know, 900 yards, and then you see 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, that 900 yards sticks out.
Yep.
So I do think that he'll be motivated to put on a show for the home crowd. In the end, look, they had the Eagles beaten with Eli at quarterback. So if the Giants play well, it's not like the Eagles are rolling in a powerhouse. I think they could play well. I don't know if they'll be able to make enough plays if Carson Wentz gets hot late in the game, regardless of who's playing offense beside him. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. And you know what? We haven't even mentioned Eli Manning, the fact that this could be the last time, likely will be the last time that he is in that stadium wearing that uniform. And it's it won't be anything like his farewell the last time, but I'm sure at some point the fans are going to want to give him another moment come Sunday.
Good stuff, Art. I tell you, and we probably only have time for a couple seconds here, I'm guessing. We're up against it a little bit, but the defense to me, and we don't talk about it for obvious reasons, the rookie quarterback takes over in terms of precedent, in terms of conversation, and to some degree Saquon still does as well. I understand all of that, and I do it, so of course I understand it. But the inability of that defense to control any game, to ever make a mark in any game, to change any game for the positive, has to be one of the most damning parts of this season and perhaps seasons recently. The Giants defense being an absolute sieve, and I understand they beat the Redskins, but only because that defense was equally sieve-like.
They scored more.
Yeah, and they outscored them. But that to me, and a lot of people have their fingerprints on that, that to me might be the most damning part of this defense or of this season for the entire organization.
Yep, I remember going into 2014, Kim, and John Mara made the declaration after the season when that the offense was broken.
Yes.
That Kevin Gilbride made the decision to leave, whoever you believe on that front.
Right.
They needed to bring in Ben McAdoo and a new style offense. Right now, this defense is broken. And you have some players here who I think can play regardless of system, but for the most part, they need to make a huge decision based on the defense, and that's what's hard, because if you bring in a defensive head coach who has a plan, now you also have to put a lot of weight on what that defensive head coach, I'm thinking Ron Rivera, for example, what is he going to do for this offense? And I think that's kind of where you go down that road. You get rid of Shermer and his entire staff, you better have the right people in place to make those decisions, because this is not a sole get the quarterback right, and we'll be okay. I do think the defense has a big issue right now, and they need to figure out what plan they want to have on that side of the ball that can sustain success going forward.
Thanks, Art.
Great job, Art. We'll see you
Thanks
tomorrow.
A lot, guys. All right. See you tomorrow.
Enjoy the weekend. Art Stapleton from NorthJersey.com. Amazing. The two local football teams aren't very good, but they're very interesting.
Both compelling enough, and certainly the talking points with both. I do think we tend to go a little more head coach with the Jets and quarterback development with the Jets, because the defense is actually decent, without C.J. Mosley, which is saying something. And next year he'll be back and he'll be better and he'll be healthy, hopefully, and everything else. For the Giants, it's an interesting sort of team-wide concept with a defense that just can't find its footing at all.
Issues,
and where we look at baby steps and say, boy, he pressured the quarterback, or boy, he got there on that play, and there just are very, very few opportunities to say anything good about that defense that hasn't gotten better. Hasn't gotten better.
And Aldrick Rosas has killed them too this year.
He's had a very oddly bad year. Yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.